Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to a red-souled, high-shine, divinely scented episode of Fat Mascara.
Intriguing.
Jen, this is so major, this episode.
Yeah, we have a good guest. We had a long Labor Day weekend. It was great. And Jess continued her experiments with wellness. So we'll check in on that. Then, dry shampoo. Is it possibly actually bad for you? And lastly, the struggle is real for redheads.
It's real.
More importantly, let's get to our guest. Jess, who is it?
Christian Louboutin.
Wee wee. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Jen, what'd you get up to over Labor Day?
I know, extra days off. I love it. Let's see. What did I do? Oh, niece and nephew came to visit and gave me more bruises.
These kids are always like kicking your butt.
No, I took them fishing and then just like relaxed and rejuvenated. How about you?
I was rejuvenating myself as well.
I know. I saw some of the images on the Instagram.
Images.
Images. What are you getting up to now?
Okay. So remember when I did yoga a couple weeks ago?
How can I forget?
I was kicking it at Y7.
Yes.
And my face was on fire because, like, of the heat. I had, like, an allergic reaction to my wellness journey. That has not deterred me at all.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sitting here right now with my juice press, Love at First Sight juice. I'm trying to, like, do little things to feel better. It's not about, like, looking slim or, you know, becoming, like, super athletic. I just want to feel good.
Okay.
But I'm hitting some roadblocks.
Tell us.
Okay.
Please share.
So I went to SoulCycle the other day.
Is that better than yoga?
I've been there a few times before. I love like the low lights, the candles,
They have a lovely candle, by the way.
Oh, the grapefruit, right?
Yes, that's very refreshing.
Jonathan Adler candle. Yeah, really nice.
See how I made it about beauty? Something.
I'm
sorry.
No, but I'm going for the atmosphere. I like the aesthetics of it. And okay. I love the like the positive like refrains that they say, like you can do it.
You can do it, Jess.
Somebody said like change your seat, change your attitude.
Okay.
And that was really cool. Yeah.
All
so
right.
I'm going for that kind of stuff and like a little fitness on the side. So, but I went at 7:30 in the morning.
I know you're not a morning person. Our listeners know you're not a morning
person.
Oh
my God. I had brown bags under my eyes. I have blue bags, as anyone who knows me knows, like blue-violet under-eye circles.
So why did they turn brown?
I don't know. It was just like my body reacted in a way that I've never seen before.
How long did the eye bags last?
until like I went to sleep that night. And I also got a migraine that night also. Like I was completely off my, my like out of sorts. And even a friend of mine said the next day, like a work colleague, she's like, yeah, you didn't look good yesterday. She's like, don't go so early in the morning. Like she was really honest with me. Then I went to my acupuncturist who I started seeing for migraines.
Okay.
As I just said, I have migraines. She's fantastic. I love her. I will link to her on our site. She's fantastic. This is not her fault. But I went to go see her. I usually leave like feeling like I'm walking on a cloud.
What happened?
I got super sick that night. Like all of my little efforts, I just feel like God is striking me down saying...
Or I'm right. You really are allergic to wellness.
So what do you think, Dr. Jen?
I don't know if I have to put on my doctor's coat for this one. But I have a similar experience with beauty. Even though I'm a beauty expert and I give people advice all the time, I have never been able to be the girl who gets manicures, which I know is so stupid. You're trying to be like healthier and live longer and not get migraines. And I'm like, want to have nice nails. But like I tried to go hardcore, like get the gel nails every week, make a standing appointment. And like I failed miserably because.
But why did you want to do that?
I don't know. I felt like I read some stupid article about how like it's so professional to have like a manicure.
Right.
And it's not like I chew my nails, but they're like unpolished pretty much always unless I'm like doing a look.
I understand what you mean.
So I went hardcore and that backfired, which is why I'm in this unpolished phase because I feel like you need to do baby steps maybe like just start out, for example, for me, like start out putting on some polish at home every now and then, you know?
Right. Like maybe I should just like do some like light calisthenics in front of the television. Which is
sure,
like
calisthenics. Yeah, if you want to
or
go
like
back
this,
to
this,
the 80s and try that, that works.
Or the, drink a juice. Like, okay, like drink a juice. Like right now, I decided to get a juice. I normally have Diet Coke, a couple.
Okay,
when
so,
we record.
So maybe every other Diet Coke becomes water or a juice.
Right.
And also, you always pack it all into your weekends and you do like 20 things at once. I feel like we need to spread out the wellness.
Yeah. You know, remember we were having lunch the other day with our producer.
Yes.
And I was about to order the spaghetti carbonara at 12 p.m.
I believe it was cacio e pepe.
Oh, yeah, yes. Exactly. Cacio e pepe. And the...
12 p.m., yes.
Yes, exactly. Noon. Exactly the... like appropriate time, like the first
the
appropriate time,
you could
acceptable time to have
lunch,
lunch
yes.
Right? And I just said, I'm gonna make a new choice, like my first instinct, and I got like a salad or something instead.
Oh, you did get salad,
right?
Yeah.
So that's like okay. So that's my new thing. I'm just gonna take my first choice and just like
tweak it.
But I get what you're saying. I'm going too hard, too fast. Guys, if you have any tips on how to
ease into wellness.
I'm never going to be the girl with, like, you know, a yoga selfie and, like, an acai bowl in front of my, like, computer. But I'm moving more in that direction, which is good.
I think that's a good plan. And I will also try to keep my nails more regularly. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and get them sit-ups right in. Tuck your tummy tight and do your crunches like this. Yes. I was looking through some of the posts on our Facebook page and... We get a lot of questions from readers, and I saw this one from Jessica from New Jersey.
Jessica?
Wait, you're Jessica from New Jersey.
Yeah,
did you plant this on our Facebook page?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so here's what she said. She said she's been seeing a lot lately news about people who use dry shampoo losing their hair or having problems with dry shampoo or causing breakage and like the damaging sides of dry shampoo. And she said she saw quote unquote studies. So
right.
Of course she brought it to the experts.
I love that studies was quote unquote. It sounds like
know,
she
because,
doesn't want to give up
because
the dry
I think
shampoo.
Our listeners are really educated women who understand like not everything they read is going to be necessarily true. But I think it's a really good question. Dry shampoo is so prevalent now. A, do you use it? B, have you ever, like, looked into it? I know. I'm, like, just firing questions.
Jen is literally, like, lunged across the table.
I got really excited about it.
Do you use dry shampoo? I rarely use it, to be really honest. I like to wash my hair. I wash it every other day.
See, I do use it almost, I want to say, every other day. I'm dry shampooing instead of actual shampooing. And
no.
I haven't had a problem, but I have heard of other people who have.
I think the people who are using dry shampoo who are having a problem are the people who are treating it like real shampoo. Dry shampoo is not real shampoo. I wish that these brands did not call dry shampoo shampoo. They need to call it like texturizer, which is why a lot of girls are using it.
Or oil sopper upper.
Yes, that's perfect.
Thank you. We need to work on that a little bit. But you're right. It doesn't actually clean hair, does it?
No. And I think people think, you know, some people are actually, you know, making that connection. Oh, it sops up the oil, so my hair is clean. No. It's sopping up the oil. Whatever ingredients they use, whether it's talc, is just one ingredient, but that's certainly not the only one. You know, different kinds of powders and agents.
Silicones and flash solvents. Actually, that's not true.
We're just saying those words. But it deposits substances that absorb the oil, but then it sits there. So it's certainly not cleaning your hair. It's adding more crap to your hair.
But can anything happen if you then don't wash out what you just added to your hair?
Sure can, Jen.
Do tell. What do you know?
It compounds with the oils that are on your hair. Okay. So it's not sopping up all of them. They're still there. The dead skin cells that shed normally when you wash your hair, and then like you're supposed to do a little like massage when you wash your hair, hopefully. And the product, it's all just sitting there. Picture it just like sediment. Picture as if you were like putting powder on your face every day and then just not washing your face and then being surprised when you broke out in an itchy rash or you broke out in
zits. So is it that mixture compounds of those little things you just described that is going to then make your hair fall out?
It's going to cause inflammation. And inflammation is kind of this catch-all term that, you know, doctors use, but that can irritate the follicle, causing it to fall out if it's weak. Or it can, and this is like such a basic thing, but stay with me, it can kind of just cause the hairs to stick together. And then when you brush your hair or you wash your hair, instead of just like the normal shedding, like one hair falling out,
They're
like stuck together, like banded, like three or four.
And it seems like a lot of hair is falling
because
out.
Because you're actually like, you're encouraging the hair to stick together with all this like cakey dry shampoo. And then boom, a lot more hair is falling out.
Okay, so and if you did continued not to shampoo, is there anything else that could happen?
If you're continuing not to shampoo, all this bacteria can grow because you just have this little farm of like crap.
In the little powder sediment mixture?
Exactly. It's a bacteria like haven.
They want to eat on the little oils.
Exactly. You're not washing it off, so it's a bacteria farm. And then, P.S., you have all this crap just sitting there. Your scalp can't breathe. It's getting dehydrated. You know what that is. Cue dandruff. So you have like all this crap that could be falling onto your shoulders because it's either the dry shampoo and the, you know, special mixture itself.
Yeah.
Or it could actually be your scalp because your scalp is not, you know, it's not getting the balance that it needs to be a healthy, moisturized, happy scalp.
Do we want to posit, if you are a frequent dry shampoo user, how often you still need to be shampooing, or do you leave that to your stylist and you?
Expert, like, you know, every scalp is different.
Tell us. But, you're the doctor this
week. Dr. Matlin says,
the
experts that I've spoken to, and I've written about this before extensively, you want to use dry shampoo no more than 2 times a week, and you want to shampoo your hair not every day, unless you have like something going on, about every other day or so. Unless you have very dry hair or textured hair, then that's a different situation. Yeah. If you're someone who just cannot like hook the dry shampoo habit and you're not listening to our advice, please use a clarifying shampoo once a week. It will say clarifying shampoo. A really good one is real harsh, but it will get the stuff out of your hair. It's the Bumble Sunday shampoo.
Oh, and I like the Frederick Fekkai apple cider shampoo.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So basically that is clearing out that little bacteria farm you were talking about, and your hair won't fall out. So Jessica from New Jersey, who is not Jessica Matlin from New Jersey, I hope that answered your question.
I want to live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
Jess, what you got there?
It is this fabulous book.
You're like not even looking.
I'm
at
not
me.
Looking.
Your
I'm
nose
sorry.
Is in this book. What is it?
It's called A Field Guide to Redheads: An Illustrated Celebration. It's a quick read. It's like a little coffee table book, a little gift book, by Elizabeth Graber, who's an illustrator.
Wait,
it's fantastic.
You need your own field guide.
We don't get a lot of love. Could have used, because let me tell you, I didn't have a lot of redhead finalia growing up. Well, this book, I should tell you about the book really quickly. Oh, this is the page I wanted to show you, A Day at the Beach. They have, it's this little girl, and I'll show you some photos of this on our Instagram, guys, so keep checking us out. It shows a little redheaded girl at the beach and a little girl after the beach, and she's a freckly little mess, which is like me every time I go to the beach. But so this book is a celebration of redheads. So they have everyone from Joan Holloway to Do you know when Malcolm X was a redhead?
I actually did know
you,
that.
You did that? Okay, I feel like a moron, so excuse me. Cyndi Lauper, Molly Ringwald, who is a fan of the podcast. Love you, Molly.
Oh, yeah, love you, Molly. Wait, but tell me, when you, this is going to get deep and we're going to get analyze-y here.
Uh-huh.
When you were growing
Grace
up.
Grace Coddington, go on.
When you were growing up, did, like, was it tough being redhead? Because I feel like I love your red hair. I just think it's like a bonus. I wish I had like cool red hair.
I wish we had a couch and more time, but here's the thing. I didn't have redheaded icons. Like, I wanted to be blonde, which, like, didn't, I don't know if it, like, troubled my mom, but, like, I was obsessed with Barbie. She had one redheaded friend, Midge, who was, like, never in anything.
Even her name is sad.
Midge, yeah. I wanted
to. Sorry, I can't get over Midge.
No, she had Midge.
She was like a small fly.
I was obsessed with Archie. He had red hair, but like the girls like had, you know, sexy Raven hair or, you know, blonde Betty. Oh. I was obsessed with Barbie. Like, I mean, we can dive into that another time. I don't know if some people have issues with that, but like she was blonde. Like everyone, every like select,
like, who'd you have? Midge and Archie.
Like, yeah. Like,
felt like, yeah.
Or, and people said, oh, like you're cute. Like Annie or Strawberry Shortcake. None of these people were glamorous or Pippi Longstocking. I loved Pippi, but they were always weird or like an orphan. I mean, Pippi was an orphan. Yeah. Annie was an orphan. Strawberry Shortcake was animated.
I've actually never thought about this, but now that you're saying it, you're absolutely
Raggedy
right.
Ann was like everything is, nothing is aspirational. There's nothing aspirational.
There's even like negative names for you guys. Like, you know, and then in, there's Kick a Ginger Day I've heard about.
And that's a real thing. And that's like gingerism is like really serious problem. Our UK listeners, I'm sure you know. Yeah. It's a really big deal. It's like not a laughing matter. It's bad. I went to this ballet school and there was another redheaded girl named Jessica.
Uh-huh.
I already said, and I started in the middle of the semester, like the semester for ballet, so I already felt weird, and I was like chunkier than the other girls.
Okay.
And we did this thing called Across the Floor. So Jess, I won't use her last name, but other Jess H went in front of me, and she was tall and gorgeous in her black leotard and pink tights, and she did her thing, and then I did mine. But as we went across the floor, our teacher went, Little Red! Big Red! I didn't know what hit me. That's how she differentiated between us.
Were you older? Maybe it was just because you were the older one.
No, we were the same age. We were both like 11 years old.
You're like, you look traumatized.
It was, can you imagine the shock of like, you're going alone across the floor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you barely even know what you're doing. Because I started like in the middle. So I was like, oh, is this okay? You know, like, pas de bourrée, pas de bourrée. And then it was rough.
So you're not tell like, me about this book. Would this book have helped?
It would. And I think I caught a glimpse of I actually started loving my hair. I fell in love with Tori Amos. I think we've talked about our Tori Amos like affection. And that was the first person I saw with red hair that was like, that woman is cool. What a cool lady. And I didn't have any redheaded icons until that. I was like 13 years old.
Okay. So now for all those redheads out there and their kids. There's this book, and there's a lot of
field
cooler
guide to redheads.
There's Joan from Mad Men. There's Karen
now there
Elson.
Is
there's now we, yes.
I
the
had to
is
wait.
Not as struggly now.
No, and there's one other book I want to recommend.
Oh,
it's fantastic. It's called How to Be a Redhead, and the girls who started it. I mean, I could have used them like when I was younger too.
Is this also a new book?
It came out in May, but these girls are fantastic. They have a great blog, great Instagram, and they even have a product line that's really handy. Some cosmetics and hair products. I love their...
Oh, just for redheads.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I can see that for like eyebrow pencil.
Their names are Stephanie and Adrian Vendetti, and they're just...
Wait, is this the book? Aren't you quoted in this book?
I am quoted in this book. She quoted a lot of redheaded, you know, women in fashion and beauty. And so they both quoted.
But see how, okay, the therapist, now I'll play therapist again.
Huh.
Look where you've come, Jessica. You're now one of the women in this book that can be a beautiful redhead role model for everyone else.
Thanks.
So we're here with Mr. Christian Louboutin, the world-renowned shoe designer whose red-soled shoes have been on pretty much everybody in the world, all the most famous women. Welcome to Fat Mascara. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
People might be wondering why you are on a beauty podcast. And for those who don't know, you have a huge beauty line that you came out with 2 years ago. So tell us first about your shoes and how they tie into beauty. What's the connection there?
Well, I wouldn't say that I have a fat beauty line or like a big beauty line. I would just say I started beauty, which is now 2 years ago, I would say. And the way it's been linked in a way, there is a French expression which says, I'm going to say it in French, ce qui est à César, rendre à César ce qui est à César. So it's to give back to César what belongs to César. And so it's an expression. And it just means that actually my trademark, which is a red sole, has actually started because of a nail polish. I was in the factory where I'm still doing my shoes, actually in Italy. And I had tried all the prototypes of the day. And the girl who was trying the prototype was finished. I mean, she was finished to work with her feet, so she actually was taking care of her hands, and she was actually putting some nail polish on her hands. And I was looking at one of the prototypes, which was exactly like my primary drawing, and it was a very nice one. It was a Mary Jane pointy with a sort of big buckle shape of a flower. And it looked good, but it looked better on my drawing, and I could not really understand why. And I realized that it was a very poppy color drawing. And in the reality, there was a big mass, which was black. And there was no black, no sort of dark color in my drawing. And the sole was black. And I thought, if I could erase that big mass of black, maybe it would become really like my drawing. So as she was polishing her nail, I thought, okay, I'm going to take her nail polish. So I said, Sarah, do you mind? She said, I mind because we are not in the middle of a big city and I just did two nails, so what do you want me? I said, no, listen, I would like to try something. So we had a bit of a fight, but I'm bigger. So I managed to grab the nail polish. She said, my nail polish, I just have two. I said, okay, don't worry, I get you another nail polish. That's the same one. I said, you can wait for 2 days. No one is here, don't worry. Anyway, so I put the nail polish on the sole and it looked exactly like my primary drawing, and I thought, okay, this is it. You know, it's just a matter of color. And it looked actually very nice. So I thought, well, I'm going to have the red for the salt.
Just for that pair of shoes, or did you think this is my trademark?
No, I never thought of a trademark at the very beginning. I thought, well, it looks good, so I'm going to have a colored sole every season.
Oh, you were going to change it?
I was thinking to change it at the very beginning. And then I realized when it was all red that it really looked good on every color. And a lot of women, I'm seeing you, Jessica and Jennifer, you're all in black, but you have an element, your lips, which are red, the both of you. So people who don't even wear color, they still wear red. So I thought probably I should stick to red. And I did stick to red. And then it became a sign of recognition and then a trademark. So when I started beauty, I thought I have to give back to César, so to my really beginning of my story, in a way, of my adventure with my company, started also with nail polish. I thought, if I have to do beauty, which I thought for a moment, well, I should really start with the color.
A red scarlet nail polish.
Exactly. A red lacquered nail polish.
So the beauty line started 2 years ago, but obviously you've been designing shoes for much longer than that. Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, you love women, you love making things for women. Who did you look to as sort of a stylish woman that you like an icon? Who inspired you to go into making shoes in the first place?
I was born in the mid-60s, so when you're talking of that, I'm thinking of people which were to me sort of inspiring in the 70s. And to be perfectly honest, in the 70s in France, no one looked inspiring to me. Really no one. The actresses were probably very good actresses, but slightly boring to my taste, you know, to my type of teenager taste. So I was really driven by people from the 50s, people from the 30s. So I was driven by a very classical Hollywood thing, a very less classical Bollywood thing, because next to the apartment of my parents, there was a great theater where you see movies, theater. Mm-hmm. And they were playing Egyptian movies and Indian movies. So I actually loved Hema Malini. I loved a lot of the big, Amitabh Bachchan, a lot of the big Bollywood superstar. The really the people of the time from the 70s for me were really, from the 70s, were the big.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Bollywood superstars, because Indian women looked so great, and in the 70s they were incredible in movies. Otherwise, it would really be the classicals. You know, Marlene would be one, of course, but Marilyn also. I mean, really the classical, you know, strong imagery from Hollywood.
And why shoes? Why not go into fashion? What was it about shoes?
My thing from the very beginning was shoes, because I love dance. And so when I was...
Were you into shoes as like for yourself too?
No,
women's shoes.
Really women's shoes. What I was really into women, reality is. And I was really into dancers. I loved music hall. And I had discovered as a kid with my best friend from school that if you go to a music hall in Paris... Mm-hmm. You have an intermission, you know, when you stop and it goes back. So a break. So everybody goes outside, smoked a cigarette, and then comes back. And we had both realized that when you are first thing, you go outside and you come back and you can change seats. You know, you've been seeing, you can have a better seat there, there, ta ta ta. But nobody's asking for your ticket. So what we had done forever is to see the second part of, so we sort of knew at what time was the second part. We would sneak in and so never had to pay your ticket, and we saw the second part of every single show in Paris that way. And so I got to see a lot of plays, serious play, which is fantastic, but when you miss half of it, the beginning, you have a hard time to understand. But it was a good training to actually understand, try to be quick into the psychology of characters. But when I was really fed up to be so trying to be smart and understanding a play which was making almost no sense for me in general, we would go to see musical, to see Showgirls. That was my favorite pastime in a way, pastime. And so I loved Showgirls. I loved, you know, the musical in general, Les Folies Bergères, Le Paradis Latin, etc., Le Moulin Rouge, Lido a little bit less, but still it was nice. but you couldn't get in that easily through the Lido, I have to admit. So I didn't see it so many times. Anyway, so because of that, I really wanted to do something for the musical, for the girls. And to me, those girls were really like, you know, those showgirls are a bit like fantasy birds in a way, you know, birds of paradise, right, with all those feathers, etc. And it's natural to birds to have feather. So I thought, I would like to do something, but I didn't think to do feather because, you know, birds have feather. So it seems that it was not a costume, but it was their reality. But I could see that they were having shoes. So it was bird with shoes. So I thought, well, you know, the birds, they have the feather, but I can take care of the shoes. And shoes is so important for dancer, giving such a big support, but also such a bit posture, different posture, attitude. So I thought, okay, so I'm going to do shoes. And I started to do shoes for Showgirls, which was actually my first job.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do them, but I was employed by the Folies Bergères as an intern.
No
so
way.
Yeah.
So it was to adorn the women. So it was really to
celebrate.
Yeah,
I was
these
never
dancers.
Interested in clothes, really.
Okay. So when you see a woman today, do you automatically look at her shoes or do you look at something else first?
I never looked at the shoes first.
Oh, that's comforting because I don't think you'd be too pleased with me.
Yes.
I don't like high heels.
That's blasphemy.
Okay. That's okay.
That's okay. You're all right with that? I can live.
I'm all right. Okay. I'm telling you exactly what I'm doing when I meet a person.
When you make a flat, are you a little sad? Like, are flats okay? I just have to.
No, I'm talking
to the king, the priest of heels. So I just, while I have this moment, I have to ask you: are flats okay?
Flat is totally okay.
Oh, thank God. You're all right.
I love flats.
Okay.
I'm not speaking of clogs.
Oh, no.
Right?
No clogs.
I wouldn't
clogs. Dare. All right. No clogs.
No clogs,
why?
Please. Because think about it. A clog, you know, when you hear the sound of someone coming, when you hear high heels, so imagine something immediately. When you hear clogs, what do you imagine?
Mario Batali.
That's one.
A donkey.
A donkey, yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. This is even nicer.
Not sexy.
In general, it's more.
Flats, you never hear me coming.
Yeah, you'll sneak up on us.
It's floating. It's very nice.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we can get back to your beauty.
Yeah, so what do you notice first about a woman?
I look at the woman, and it's almost like a training. I look at the person, and I look at the face. Really, the face, the posture, the way the person is going to put her hands, etc. Really, the gesture, but the face of all. And after a while, I sort of try to imagine what she has on her feet. And then I look.
And see if you were correct or not.
Exactly.
I love it.
Interesting.
It's a game.
Exactly. It's a game, exactly.
Well, if you're looking at faces first, then you're obviously noticing their cosmetics. And so you started out with nail polish, as you said, but then you started to do lip colors, too. Why was that next as opposed to, like, a mascara or something?
Because I think that, you know, lips are very, very important. Again, the red is very important for the lips. But again, it has to see with posture, too. When I'm thinking, when I'm designing an object, I'm designing something, but I'm immediately thinking of the object, its function, but also in function, in the movement.
In the gesture.
And
putting it
in
on.
The gesture, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my English is a bit bad. So the first thing was the nail polish, and immediately after, it had to be the lips. I thought of the lips at the same time, actually, than the nail polish, but I had to give back to César, so I started with the nail polish, but really I thought of the lipstick immediately because it's a beautiful gesture. The hand touching the lips, caressing the lips, etc. It's a very nice thing, and it's a very, you know, it's basically you're caressing yourself when you're touching your lips. So there is something of the person who loves herself, which is very, very nice. And the only thing which I tried to correct is I'm immediately thinking of the first gesture. So when I say I tried to correct with what I did with the lips is that the first gesture is a hand, like, you know, doing this and grabbing something out of a bag.
Right.
So I just wanted to start with another gesture, which is just the hand touching the lips. That's why I actually made it as a pendant. You can actually wear the lipstick as a pendant. So the first gesture is actually the hand close to your heart and then taking it to go to your lips.
So it's a prettier ritual than rummaging around your handbag for something.
Exactly. It's a ritual. I wanted to start by a very pretty starting of a ritual,
Mm-hmm. And now, have you seen women wearing your lip color pendants that don't know who you are? Have you passed them on the street or anything? I'm sure you see your shoes all the time, but...
I saw in Los Angeles, not such a long time ago, someone wearing it.
Yeah.
And it was very pretty because she had put a lot of chains together. So it was very, very nice. Big, big, thick chains together.
Yeah.
And one was attached with, not one, actually, lipstick, but the full range of, the matte, the satin, and the sheer. So it was a three together. It looked very nice.
That's cool.
Right. And the most recent you launched was the matte, correct?
The matte, exactly.
Yeah.
And the Lubilac and the Lac.
I love the name.
The name is great.
Mm-hmm. Lubilac. I just want to call you Lubes. Can I call you Lubes from now on?
Luby.
Luby. Okay, Luby. We'll do that.
Do your friends call you Luby?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how friendly we get by the end of this. So next for you, you've done nails, you've done lips.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next?
Uh-huh, yes.
Well, I know, because it's my job to know.
But we have a clue.
We have a clue. You're coming out with fragrances, right?
Yes. Yeah.
This is a huge passion of ours. We are so excited to talk to them, to talk to you about them. So tell us, we noticed there's going to be three, which is a big deal. You're not just doing one, you're doing three.
Mm-hmm.
What was the inspiration for your new scents, and why three at once?
Well, because I started to really work on the scent. You know, and I haven't been thinking, there was no brief. You know, I didn't get, when I started to work with the nose, there was no brief, like, you know, I want that, it's about a woman who is like this, it's about a woman, it's about like that. It was really about the scent, so I wanted to be totally in a bath of scent and really immerse myself in the scent. So that was really what I was into. And so I started with actually a lot of different scents and started to narrow it down to things that I like, things that I was thinking to explore, things that I was thinking of in general. And I started to narrow it down. And when it arrived to less than 10, 11, I started to like them all. And I felt every time I was taking away one, I was feeling a bit sad in a way.
Mm. So and did you think you might just launch one at first?
I didn't have a really preconceived idea. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to work. I started Really Beauty 5 years ago, really, and I started to work on the scents 3 years ago.
Mm.
Almost 3 years ago, yeah.
Most designers start with a scent and then maybe they go into color cosmetics. You're doing it in reverse.
Yeah, I wanted to start with colors, really. Mm. But I like perfume. It's a very evocating world. And so I really wanted to start by the scent when I worked on the perfumes. And you know, it's like if, for instance, you leave on holidays with a lot of friends and then suddenly, you know, some friend, or you are at a party, you have many friends and then some are leaving and then a moment it looks less like a party, you know, it's like, okay, there's few people. So those scents, at one point, I started to like them all and I had to get rid of one. I thought, oh, God, this one is leaving. I like this
the
one.
The party's over.
Yeah, it was a bit that the party starts to be over. And when I arrived to less than 10, it was like 7 or 8, I really had a hard time to get rid of those scents, which started to inhabit me in a way. I was, you know, a roommate or whatever of me.
Uh-huh.
And so I really had a bit of a hard time. I really liked them all. But I still had to narrow them. And then at one point, I got this type of rebellion. I thought, you know, I'm never going to arrive to have one fragrance.
Right.
And the reason is that, first of all, I don't know why it would be one fragrance, because I don't think that there is one woman. And if, you know, people are asking me sometimes, do you have a muse? And I think it's very difficult for me to narrow a one character of one person which will represent every woman. It's complicated. It's impossible. But also from my childhood, I had three sisters. So I couldn't imagine having like one sister. You have three sisters. It's difficult.
So is each of these sort of like one of your sisters now?
I wouldn't say that it's...
They're
it
very
represents,
different sense.
Exactly. But you know, I have three sisters. They're very, very different.
Yeah.
And I cannot say I have a better sister or someone I really much prefer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to have three sisters and they're different. That makes me even happier. So it's the same thing for fragrance. You know, I've just had a very hard time to imagine, okay, this is a fragrance for every woman that I could right. like. It's just impossible for me. And so even if at one point you have to narrow things, you know, I'm not a house of perfumes. I'm not going to launch 150 perfume or something. I could not narrow it down more than three because they were very, very different. And I thought, okay, this is exactly the smell I've been working on that side. It's very, very good. It's not going to evaluate in that. So why to kill it because I like the other one, you know, one versus the other one. I'm not a big aggressive person, so I'm not really a fighter. I just thought, well, they all have their place. So
and
they
what
should
are the,
all
can
live.
Tell us the names so
can
that
you quickly,
everybody
like,
knows.
Well, can you walk us through the
Let's
fragrances
see. I
and
have
describe
here
them?
Trouble in Heaven.
Yeah, so it's Trouble in Heaven.
Who's Trouble in Heaven
yeah,
for?
Yeah, what's that about?
What? It's a lot of people.
Mm. But do they know who they are?
It can be you in one day. It can be you at one moment. And you may be another person. You may be Tornade Blonde at another moment.
And so that's, what's the other one? Tornade Blonde.
There is Tornade Blonde, okay.
Ooh,
which is a French
one. I like
one.
This was your favorite, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, we did a little pre-testing before you
Ooh,
arrived.
Oh, it's very fresh.
I like this.
She's a little bit less sexy. She's more sporty, I think, than
oh
the
God,
other one.
I'm the sporty one.
But they're all good. And then I the last it. One, Bikini Questa Sera.
Bikini Questa Sera.
Questa Sera.
It's Italian.
Okay.
It's an Italian name. It means bikini this evening. This evening in a bikini, more or less.
Sexy. Spray this
they're
one
very
too.
Different.
They're very different. You know, people are different. It's complicated to shrink
oh,
everyone's
like
character in one bottle.
Can you like look at someone and know what they'll gravitate to? Like when you are with like a friend and you're showing them, like, do you know exactly what they're gonna like?
You know, it's very funny because I had lunch with a very good friend of mine called Beatrice. She's Italian, beautiful. She's a great artist too, and she loves roses. So I said, I'm going to make you smell something. And she said, what is it? I said, I've been working on perfumes, and this is a perfume which has a lot of rose in it. And she said, oh, my God, last time was roses was 20 years ago, but another perfume, da-da-da. So she comes, and she loved it, but she tried the others, and she texts me after. I'm a rose girl, but in fact, I'm the other fragrance. So you see...
Which one is she?
Not the Trouble in Heaven. She was...
Tornade
Blonde.
The three scents are very different, but the bottles, I noticed, although they're different colorways, mm-hmm. the sculpture of them is the same for all three,
yep.
and it is quite a sculpture. Even mm-hmm. your lip colors, your nail polishes, you're known for your sculptural containers. What was the inspiration for the bottle for these?
What exactly happened with the bottle is that I have a few passions, and one is architecture. And when I started to work for beauty, I wanted some object to really be designed by architects. And a bottle is something which has to stand by itself, just like buildings. So I really thought that I wanted absolutely the bottle designed by an architect. And I thought immediately of someone that I always worshipped and adored, who is a fantastic architect. So I went to see him, speaking about what I was doing. And he said, well, I don't have the time right now, but come back in a year because I'm working on projects that I know that I won't be able, but I never did that, and it's interesting, it's nice. Mm-hmm. And thank you for thinking about me. But he died.
Oh, no.
Okay, you know, let's not be too sad. He was 104, so
okay.
He had all his life. He had a fantastic guy. He died. Oscar Niemeyer, the Brazilian architect. But I still wanted to work with an architect. And the first person, the only person who came to my mind is this fantastic architect who's an English architect, Thomas Heatherwick. He's doing a lot of big projects actually now on the piers. New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a lot of great buildings, great things. And he did, for instance, this the torch which was joining itself in London for the Olympics.
Okay.
He
yeah.
was responsible for that. He's been doing this beautiful British pavilion in Shanghai too, which was almost like an ocean giant. But what I love about architecture is that when a piece of architecture is well done, you have no idea of the scale. If
mm-hmm.
you don't have someone next to it, you have no idea how big, how small is the architecture.
Oh, that's interesting. We cannot let you leave. I know you have to leave soon, but we can't let you leave without asking
I have to go to see Beyoncé.
It's a pretty
Get me out of here.
It's a pretty good excuse, I'll tell you that. But before you go, we always ask our guests, what beauty products do you love? I don't see you wearing any lipstick, but like
you
skin.
You smell good when you walk
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
your skin is amazing.
Cologne you wore before this fragrance or favorite skincare?
I don't put anything.
Come on.
No, I don't put anything. The only thing is that I put... Yeah, I have some fragrance, yeah.
What were you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing 4711, which is a cologne.
It's classic.
And otherwise, I wear Cologne Bigarade by Frédéric Malle. Or otherwise, I have Caron, also Pour un Homme. Mm-hmm. I haven't been having it for a long, long time. Otherwise... Skincare, nothing, but I love a thing called Granado, which is a Brazilian company.
Granado?
Doing talcum powders and things and soaps, etc. Granado.
Well, thank you for coming. We have to let you go
thank
see the
you.
Queen Bee.
Yes.
But come back and visit us anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Merci
thank
beaucoup.
You. Merci.
People say she's crazy. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose. These walking blues, diamonds on the soles of your shoes.
You guys, that interview with Louboutin, let's call him Lubes. He said we could call him Lubes, right?
He did Lubie. Say that.
Let me just
Louboutin.
That was so epic, but I just have to tell you what happened as he was walking out the door. Do you mind if I tell?
No.
So as you know, Jess has struggles wearing high heels. She was more of a flats person. So Monsieur Louboutin, as he was walking out the door, he turns back to Jess and he goes, goodbye, flat Jessica.
Oh,
can I call you? It's the best nickname ever.
I thought it was so sweet. I don't know if he meant it in a sweet way. But
I couldn't tell
either.
It was
so sweet. But he was off on his way to Beyonce. I think he was just like, just wanted to get on the road.
Enough of you girls.
Yeah. Bye, flat Jessica.
Such a good interview.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we get down to business.
It's time.
Da-na-da.
To.
Why are you pointing at me?
I thought we were like doing a duet. Okay, it's time to raise a wand.
Time to raise a wand. Okay, you go first, Flat Jessica.
Flat Jessica. Okay, so to recover from my weekend of wellness last night, I treated myself to a bath.
Mm.
I cleaned the tub.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a production, but it was worth it because I dumped the remaining half a bottle of my Kneipp. Knepp?
Oh, yes. The How German do,
yeah.
company.
Kneipp bath salts into my tub. I used the eucalyptus one because I said I
that
was feeling...
That is a huge tub
yeah,
of bath salts.
It's enormous. It's 500 grams, 17 ounces. I dumped a tremendous amount of the eucalyptus ones into my bath because I feel like I'm just finishing up being sick. But any one of these you choose... It changes your state of mind. The relaxing one makes you really relaxed. I actually felt a lot better today after taking this bath. Go to the store, health food store, go online to Amazon, buy these salts. They're the best bath salts you can get.
And they're like Epsom salts.
Yeah,
right?
They're like Epsom salts. They're not going to like bubble up and give you delicious luxe bath. They're going to change your frame of mind, change the state of being you're in.
And I like it. I'm into that.
Oh, so good.
If you feel like cleaning your tub. Do it.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn.
What is going on with you? You look very happy.
Okay, I'm doing my first raise a wand to not a product. I'm going to raise a wand to our listeners.
Oh.
First of all, they are so bomb, I can't even tell you. And all the emails we get and the tweets and the Instagram, that's great. But I met one in person. Can I tell you? Met one. Sorry.
Because also you're doing Pokemon.
I know. So I was going to the movies with my boyfriend, walking through this like lobby of wherever, downtown New York.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl just stops in front of me on the stairs. And like literally when I tell you she was shaking, I was like, oh my God, is there like a celebrity behind me? And she goes, Jen from Fat Mascara.
Oh my God.
Of course, my first instinct was like, oh my God, I'm talking so loud. And she heard my voice. She goes, no, I recognize you. Let me tell you, she was the coolest chick.
Tell me about her.
Her name was Myra. She was super chic. I want to say she's from Spain. We didn't get that much into it, but she's getting a master's degree in like cosmetic sourcing. She's doing a whole thesis on supply chain for Lush Cosmetics.
Oh my gosh.
She talked like wonderfully about, we talked about parabens and we talked about supply chain sustainability. She was like everything I think our listeners are out there, like smart, informed, into beauty, cool. You know, I just was like, this is who our listeners are.
We need to have like a powwow, a conference with these girls.
I know.
So, and men.
And men. Women. Yes, totally.
Everyone.
So this week, I'm raising a wand to Fat Mascara listeners. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.